Hello and welcome to another SNL Energy Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Jennifer Zajac, and we're speaking with John Lane. He's a partner with McGuire Woods in the Richmond office. We're going to be talking today about legislative actions and regulatory actions regarding greenhouse gas emissions. John, I understand that McGuire Woods had a conference or an event of some sort in D.C. this week. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. We had our 10th annual Energy and Environment Conference where we bring together our clients and who are in the energy and environmental sectors and people from Capitol Hill and have a day-long discussion about issues affecting energy matters, environmental matters, and it's just a good opportunity to get our clients together to talk with one another about what's happening and to hear from. We always have a panel that's a view from the Hill, which from the last several years has focused primarily on greenhouse gas energy legislation.
And I understand you had Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, who's got a bill in the works right now. Did he talk about that?
Yes, he spoke to us at a dinner the night before, and the largest takeaway from that is that he said that his staffers and Senator Kerry's and Lieberman's staffers were busily scribbling away and that a draft bill was expected to be released 1 week from Monday, which date-wise, I think that's April 26th.
John, can you give us a brief overview of what is expected to be part of that greenhouse gas emissions bill?
He did not go so much into specifics he's talked about, but one thing he mentioned that I think is important and has gotten press recently is his bill, I would expect to have preemption language in it, which would preempt states from regulating greenhouse gases in a way more stringent than the process that's being set up now, and would preempt EPA from really being the regulator of greenhouse gases. It was an open question, and he was asked this question by one of our litigators as to would this preemption include things such as tort liability and other state nuisance law issues, because that have been some of the places where climate change is being played out in the courts is under nuisance litigation. And he said that it's all being discussed, but that his viewpoint was he thought if the legislation was going to be successful, it really needed to encompass the whole world and so presumably would have strong preemption.
Could you clarify for me what nuisance litigation would mean, especially for the utility sector? Is that significant?
Well, it certainly could be. I mean, in terms of some of the cases that have come up, there have been some cases in California where if you are, let's say, you're a utility provider, you have lots of coal power, someone says, you are causing the oceans to rise and you are going to flood my property, and that's the common law. You're not allowed to do something that harms someone else in a way that's a public, there's a difference between public and private nuisance, but in this case, a public nuisance, and you can be liable for tort damages. Now, those cases so far have not been successful, but people will always keep trying. So part of it is that to say, I think that is not really the effective way to regulate greenhouse gases is through state common law claims.
And let's talk a little bit more about how this bill, among others, is proposing that the EPA would not have regulatory authority over greenhouse gas emissions. Can you talk a little bit about what the EPA is doing on that front and how far you think the agency will get?
Well, I think that's a big game of chicken, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think the thing that everybody has said, and even the next morning when we had staffers from Mayor Einhoff's staff and Senator Bingaman's staff, and everyone, no matter what their political stripes, I think believes EPA is not the way, is not the best mechanism to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. So an EPA, I think the question is, EPA is going to keep the pressure on because it wants, the Obama administration wants legislation. Legislation will stall, and as the Einhoff staffer said, this debate could go on for years, unless there's really something pushing them to say it's better to have the devil we know than the EPA regulation and the various things that we don't know. Now, I do think an important driver for the bill that will enable it to get bipartisan support if there's going to be a bill in the next couple of years is going to be to keep EPA out of it, because there's just a large feeling that that's just not the best mechanism to regulate this by.
And how come?
Well, in the first place, they're not really set up for distributing dividends and allowances. And if you have EPA providing its regulation and getting into the Clean Air Act minutia of what is best available control technology for things that don't quite yet exist, could bring all permitting to sort of a big standstill. And there's questions about what it would do to modification of existing facilities if you're going to put pollution control equipment onto something now that actually takes more power to sort of run, which causes your emissions per your megawatt hour, the average, to go make you have higher emissions per megawatt hour because some of this heat value and energy value is lost. And if you have a regulatory scheme that says you're supposed to be making those numbers get better, not worse, to have something where pollution control equipment actually makes your numbers worse and
There seems to be uncertainty as to how we're going to approach it. Cap and trade system has been bantered around for a while, but I'm starting to hear more talk about maybe an emissions tax would be a better way to go. What are you hearing, John, and what are your thoughts on that?
I would say that that is one of the great unanswered questions in terms of what I'm hearing. I mean, Senate staff talked a great deal about cap and dividend, which has been one of the new proposals that came out of Senator Cantwell's proposed act, with the idea being all allowances will be auctioned. There'll be a cap. There'll be allowances. All allowances will be auctioned, and all that money will be then distributed back to presumably the consumers. So that's one sort of new wrinkle that is being put out there now, and that was discussed. We discussed that at length yesterday, and the executive director of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissions, NARUC, addressed that only in that, and for instance, with that, the problem is they've discovered there are regional discrepancies as to how that would work. But that is one thing that's out there. Cap and trade, as a term, is now so polarizing, it is sort of pushed back down into the bottom. Now, it'll be interesting to see how Senator Graham Kerry Lieberman's, how it really does address that issue. But I think because of the tax is a political four-letter word, while serious economists say that's probably the best way to do it, I think politically it is not going to be the way it gets done.
One of the things that we see a lot when we're watching policy on greenhouse gas emissions and emissions in general is California does something and then the rest of the country follows suit. Efforts are now underway, as you know, John, to suspend California's law to limit greenhouse gas emissions until the employment level gets a little better. What are you hearing and seeing, given that the U.S. usually follows California's lead, and I think we're seeing that with other states as well? Do you think Congress is going to kind of let up on these policies until the job outlook gets better?
Well, I think competitiveness is going to be an important concern in whatever legislation is passed. So I would say, and in fact that was mentioned several times yesterday, because the process really is going to be still a year or so out, I would predict, maybe waiting to see what happens, where the economy is as the final bill is being talked about to determine what can happen. I mean, what put in the bill to try and protect for things like that, you know, are things like price volatility protections for the allowances so that the allowance prices don't get so high that you really have destroyed competitiveness and everything goes offshore. But that's one of the great problems with this. You know, this is a very complex problem. And to try to do it as the United States without having a global framework for it, you do run the risk that if you have the most stringent regulations, jobs and will go to the places where they aren't so stringent, which happens quite often. So it is a big concern. Whether California's initiative will get anywhere or not, specifically, it's hard to say. But I think that just politically, because of the economy, it is hard to have something that says power is going to be, in the long run, 30% more expensive. And that's not a political winner. And I think that's going to be addressed in the bills. And the one thing that if climate change legislation is going to occur, part of what has to happen is there has to be this middle ground found where there are, as one of the speakers put it yesterday, you know, there's two camps. There's a camp that just wants to do energy and forget climate change altogether. And there's a camp that wants to do, no, you have to do energy, but you have to include it with climate change, because if you don't, I think the quote was, climate change is the medicine and the energy incentives are the sweetener. It's a spoonful of sugar that helps it go down. Climate change legislation to pass, that middle has to be found to address the competitive issues.
John, we've talked about a lot of the major challenges that are facing policy when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions. We've talked about who's going to regulate it, how it's going to be addressed, be it a tax or a cap and trade system. And we've talked about the timing of it. Have we left out anything?
I think that the thing that we probably didn't talk about as much that is really a major part of it will be the energy. I guess is the fundamental question of will we have just an energy bill at some point or will there be an energy and climate change bill? And the thing that we probably haven't talked about as much are what are the incentives that will get put in there to be the sweetener? Is it going to be lots of incentives for research and development for carbon capture and sequestration? Will it be mainly focused on wind, solar, and renewables? That's, I think, an important part of the conversation as to what specifically those, the idea of can you create green jobs and will that work? That's an important part of it also.
One of the things that needs to be done, certainly on the renewable front, we need the transmission. There's a big controversy about how much we should invest in renewables, given that wind and solar are intermittent. John, what are you hearing? Is renewables, is it getting more attention? Is it going to be a bigger slice of the pie when it comes to an energy bill, or is it getting pushed to the side?
Well, I think renewables is going to be very important. I think you're going to hear a lot about nuclear as well. Coal isn't going anywhere in the short run, but building a new coal plant is just not going to be easy and not going to be, I don't think there's going to be lots of new coal plants built in the future. it's just the economics of them don't match up right now with the economics of coal.
And talk a little bit about nuclear as far as the economics. The upfront costs are astronomical, but once it's up and running, it seems like it's a good deal.
Well, it's base load. The nice thing about it is once you have it up and running, it runs 24 hours a day. The costs are exorbitant. The waste disposal issues are unanswered. But I do think that when you compare the cost of what building new nuclear would be versus what trying to capture and build the pipelines to capture all the carbon and sequester it somewhere would be, I suspect that those nuclear costs may come down. I think nuclear is an opinion, but I think the nuclear is going to be favored, and even the Obama administration has come out to say support nuclear power. So that certainly is an emission-free energy source that, while expensive, is baseload and doesn't have the same sort of problems that solar and wind do in terms of reliability and capacity.
We've been speaking with John Lane. He's a partner with McGuire Woods in the Richmond office, and he is in the energy and environmental section of the firm. John, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. Likewise. And this has been another SNL Energy podcast. Thanks for listening.